You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Our benefit system has remained largely unchanged since the Great Depression. The main recipients of benefits in New Zealand are no longer Pākehā war heroes, but instead solo mothers, and disproportionately mothers who are Māori, Pacifica, and have disabilities. However, the current benefit system is failing these women as they're subjected to intrusive investigations, probing questions, regulations that keep them from seeking work, and policies that keep them from pursuing meaningful relationships. Child Poverty Action Group recently released a briefing paper calling for the government to take urgent action on the benefit system. This was delivered to the Prime Minister's electoral office yesterday, along with a petition signed by 8,000 people. To find out more, I spoke to Executive Officer at CPAG, Georgie Krore, and began by asking what the Child Poverty Action Group does.
So Child Poverty Action Group, we're a charity that works to eliminate child poverty in New Zealand. So we mainly do that by researching and analysing current policy and prospective policy and making comment about, you know, how that might affect children in New Zealand and how, you know, what we think the government needs to do to change that. So a lot of our focus on our work at the moment is on the 174,000 children living in the worst of poverty in New Zealand, and that largely correlates to children who are living in a household who receive a mains benefit. So that's the children of beneficiaries in general.
So could you outline for our listeners what the briefing paper is about and what recommendations it suggests?
Our briefing paper looked at the WEAG recommendation. So the Welfare Expert Advisory Group earlier this year released a really comprehensive report about how the government should overhaul the welfare system to make it fit for purpose in the 21st century. So at the moment we've got this really broken welfare system where things have kind of been tacked on and neglected, and, you know, it's just like it doesn't work anymore. It's harmful to people rather than kind of helping people. So they were tasked with coming up with the recommendations of how to fix that. And they came up with this very comprehensive report. And then what we've done is kind of triaged that report and highlighted for the government the six main areas that we think that they should urgently move on to make the biggest difference in the lives of people, children and families living in poverty in New Zealand. Because at the moment we think that the government haven't really done enough to respond to the WEAG recommendations. We think that they were great recommendations, but yeah, not much has really been done since that time. So the main things that we're saying to the government are that every child and adult in Aotearoa should have adequate income to meet all of their basic needs. So basically, research that the advisory group conducted confirmed that there's a really large deficit between people's current incomes and what is needed to meaningfully participate in the community. So they were really clear that income support needs to be increased as soon as possible to allow everyone to have the opportunities to thrive. And we really agree with that. We see the harm that's caused by people not having enough to provide for their children. So that can mean things like not enough healthy meals in a week, parents, mothers, fathers going without food themselves so that they can feed their children, kids not having, you know, warm clothes in winter and shoes to go to school, those kinds of things. But it can also mean things like not having the opportunities to take their children to the beach and things like that. You know, they can't actually afford to pay for public transport in the holidays to take their children to the beach. We heard from a soul mum on the benefit yesterday, Katha Mamaya, who talked about that. You know, she really wants to take her children to the movies this holidays because they deserve that, but she just doesn't see how that's possible with the income that she's receiving.
So why is it taking so long for the Labour government to do something about it? Like, is it benefiting them by keeping benefits away from people? Why do you think?
Well, we don't know. We think that they do want to change it. We think that they care. You know, the Prime Minister is the Minister for Child Poverty Reduction.
And,
so we're really hopeful that they will do something. We don't know, really. Yeah. We're a bit dumbstruck, but we are hopeful. And I think that maybe, you know, if the political will was there, they would do it, and maybe they just need to hear from more people that actually we don't agree with this. This isn't okay. This is not the New Zealand that we want to live in, and that they would support a welfare reform. I think maybe they're scared. I'm not sure. It's kind of politically a little bit unpalatable, potentially, but it is what would make the biggest difference to children living in poverty. So we think they need to be brave and they need to do it.
So I have another question. Since it is 126 years since women's suffrage, I'm interested in the relationship between women's rights and child poverty. Do you think the benefits system would be structured differently if women and solo mums weren't the ones most harmed?
Yeah, that's such a good question, definitely. One of the things that we're also calling on, so a massive area that needs to be looked at is around the relationship rules in the welfare system. So at the moment, MSD consider people to be in the relationship in the nature of marriage after 6 weeks together.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
So, ridiculous, yeah. Can you imagine? Like, I've never been in a relationship where after 6 weeks I've shared my finances with someone.
Yeah,
and if you factor children into that equation, then it's just a recipe for disaster. It doesn't give people the time and space they need to make healthy decisions for themselves and their families. And so what we think needs to happen is that needs to change from 6 weeks to 3 years immediately. They could do that overnight, and would really love them to respond to that call, because I think that most people in New Zealand would agree that that's not right and not kind of rational. You know, it's not reasonable. And then another thing that they could do is to individualise benefits. So at the moment, if, say, a sole mum on the benefit partners with somebody else on the benefit, they're financially worse off, and we think that that's a problem. So that's stopping people from forming potential relationships that they might want to form. So that's something that needs to change, but also by extending that period of time from 6 weeks to 3 years, which brings it in line with the Property Act. So it's what, you know, expected in other areas of our law. It means that they could also have more time to partner with somebody else who's potentially working part-time, full-time, whatever, not receiving welfare assistance, and then they don't lose their... So at the moment, if it happens, they'd lose their financial independence, and ones would expect them to kind of be dependent on this other person who's earning if it's over a certain threshold. And what that might do is trap people in these abusive relationships, or it just has the potential to, you know, people don't have all of the choices at their fingertips that we think that they should have in that situation.
Yeah, people should be allowed to fall in love without it being a whole deal with finances and things like that. It's so unfair.
Yeah, it's so unfair. So we had this event yesterday where Hannah McGowan spoke, and so she had an op-ed in the paper yesterday as well about her experiences in this situation, where she, you know, is basically too scared to fall in love because she's too scared about what that will mean for her, for herself and her family. And she's, you know, she's living with kind of chronic illness, and that's just like, it's 100% cruel and unnecessary, because she's just been, you know, isolated more than anyone deserves. No one deserves that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I also saw that the retort emphasises kind of women experiencing sort of trauma and nervous breakdowns, and because you know how it's so intrusive the way that WINS asks you like probing questions and kind of causes a lot of trauma and breakdowns and anxiety for people. How can this be changed?
So one of the things that we also are calling for is that the kind of values and principles at the centre of the Act be changed to ones of compassion and caring. So we think that WINS are, like MSD are putting some effort into changing the culture of work and income New Zealand, but it's going to be a pretty big task, I think, but one that it can be changed. And another thing that should also be changed is to stop those intrusive investigations that are pretty legally suspicious anyway from happening. So do you know about those? The Privacy Commissioner has talked about that quite a lot, did a report on it and found that WINS, sorry, MSD is kind of systematic, had been systematically abusing its, or misusing its powers under its act to investigate people who they deemed at risk of benefit fraud. So basically that meant that people could be investigated without their knowledge. So they can look
like
at their kind of... look at their telecommunications, look at their text messages and things like that. Talk to people behind their backs, like their friends and family, so people would know that they were being investigated before they were. And, you know, a lot of the time people were found to not have been doing anything wrong, but the kind of post-traumatic stress from that whole situation is still affecting them. Yeah, so, it's just actually really horrendous. Like, the system should be set up to help people and provide people with the building blocks to, you know, move into whatever situation is right for them. And at the moment, it's doing the opposite. It's really keeping people in pretty bad situations a lot of the time.
Yeah, exactly. What do you think struck you as the most, like, poignant or strongest comment from New Zealand women on benefits?
Just that they love their children, and, so the women that we work with are generally sole mums, and you know, they want what's best for their children, and it's heartbreaking to them that that there's these policies in place at the moment that are kind of stopping this from happening. You know, that it's not what they wanted, it's not what they planned, and they just need a little bit of support to provide what their children deserve.
That was Rachel talking to Child Poverty Action Group's Executive Officer, Georgie Craw, about the benefit system and how it's failing New Zealand mothers. And Rachel, you're back in studio and you had a couple extra things you wanted to add about that interview.
Yeah, thanks Liv. So another thing Georgie mentioned is the threshold for receiving benefits. So you must currently earn under $80, after which JobSeeker benefit payment reduces sharply by 70% for each additional dollar earned. So $80 is about 4 hours of a minimum wage work. So solo mums and people on the benefits might as well not work. So the $80 threshold is actually remnant from the 80s. And when in the 80s, $80 was actually 10 hours of work. So there's definitely a lot of sexism and things that underlies the current benefit system. It's kind of a remnant from a different time. So that's what Georgie really emphasised. Mm,
it'll be interesting to see if any change does happen and how long that will take to happen too.
Exactly.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.